of skin warm and her innocent face soft, those freckles running across her nose. No chance could I keep my gaze from dipping from her mouth to that cleft. My cock stirred and my chest squeezed painfully. What the hell had I gotten myself into? Felt like I'd parachuted right behind enemy lines. Problem was, I had no idea if it was Nikki I was stealing in to rescue, or if it was this girl who was going to kill me in the end.
So why are you up here, then?
Thought you might be hungry after a long day's work. Or maybe I felt like shit after being such an asshole this morning. It was a toss-up. Her brow rose, and she tightened her hold across her chest.
I'm a big girl. I think I can feed myself. If I'm staying here, I can't be interfering with your job. That bar means the world to you.
So do you. The thought pierced me like an arrow, shearing straight through me. I hiked what I hoped looked like an indifferent shoulder, trying to fight off this bullshit feeling I couldn't shake. Couldn't stop the inundation in my mind, though. The idea of what might have happened had she gone back to her place earlier and gotten in the mix of whoever had been there. My insides clutched, in pain, in dread. Couldn't stop the assault of images, the horror of someone hurting her, stealing her away, too. I wouldn't let it happen. Not again. Not to her. And my call with Seth was not sitting well. Was hungry and didn't feel like eating bar food tonight. Thought you might be too, that's all. Don't always get down there first thing. Perks of being the boss. I shot her a wink with the last, and she was fighting the smile that was twitching across her lips.
Must be nice, she said, shifting away and opening the fridge.
She dipped down to peer inside. My eyes landed on her ass, the girl wearing these tiny black shorts that barely covered her cheeks. Yeah. So, so nice. Unbearably nice. Sweat beaded on my brow, and I beat the attraction back, remembered my mission. Why she was here.
Want a beer?
She asked, digging through my stash. Sure. She straightened, two beers in hand. She twisted the cap off the first one, handed it to me, and then opened her own before tilting it toward me.
Truce?
Unease wound through me as I stared at her standing in my kitchen. Never knew we were at war. She laughed, a low sound, shaking her head as she glanced at her feet before she peeked up at me.
Don't pretend we haven't been fighting something for a long, long time, Ollie.
I scrubbed a palm over my face and down my beard, searching for an explanation, searching for a valid reason for shutting her out, the truth of why I broke her heart. Without revealing the part of myself I couldn't let her have. Not when it belonged to Sydney. Not when I couldn't be trusted. Think we both know you are better off without me? A little scoff bled from her mouth.
I couldn't decide that for myself?
You really think so? It was hard to meet her eyes, but I forced myself to, bringing attention to what I'd done for the first time. Like a dirty secret kept between us. Look what happened the last time I came to you. Pain lanced across her face. I felt it right at the center of me. Lash, lash, lash. One's my selfishness had inflicted. But that was what it always was, wasn't it? Selfishness? Refused to be that way anymore. For a beat, she looked away, chewing on her bottom lip before she let out a small breath and asked,
"Did you need me? Or were you just using me?"
Hurt leached out in every word. Unable to stop myself, I closed the distance between us and took her face between my palms, my voice grit. "I've always fucking needed you." She jarred, shocked by my sudden movement, and blinked up at me with those eyes that twisted me in two. I loosened my hold and my words quieted. "But just because I need you doesn't mean I get to keep you." For a minute I just got lost there, looking at her, before I ripped myself away from her and turned all of my attention back to fixing dinner. Guessed I might as well add foolish to that list of fucked up qualities, because that was maybe the dumbest thing I could have given her. But for once, she deserved it. A little bit of the truth. She wasn't looking at me as she fidgeted, those fingers moving out to fiddle with a dish towel sitting on the counter.
"I'm not sure how to move on from that night," she admitted.
Sorrow had taken me whole when I looked over at her.
Which one?
That was the crux of things. We had no way to move on, both of us stuck, and I'd only made it worse. Leaving her when she was 16 and running back to her a year ago.
Truce?
I mumbled, reiterating what she'd said. Light laughter fell from under her breath.
Feels like a shaky one.
I gave a tight nod. No question it was. Shaky. But she'd been my friend long before she'd been anything else. So I searched for some kind of lightness, the easy yet profound way we'd once been.
Probably. Just hold on to something when you move. One look at me and you won't be able to remain standing.
It was all a tease with a tip of my lips. She choked out a laugh.
Wow, someone really is full of himself.
Just keeping things real. Amusement danced across her pretty face.
So damned pretty.
Painfully pretty. She was all smiles when she tipped the neck of her beer my direction.
To poor girls who can't keep their heads on straight when they're in your presence, may they forever see through the BS.
I clinked my beer against hers and then lifted it in the air. Believe me, baby, the outside looks way better than the inside. I let a little of the cold, hard truth sneak into my ribbing. She took a sip of her beer before she tucked it up close to her chest as she stared at me, her voice close to a whisper.
I think you sell yourself short, Ollie. I've always been pretty fond of what's on the inside.
I tossed a tortilla onto the griddle I'd had heating with oil. It sizzled and hissed, and I focused on evening it out with the spatula. That's an ugly place, Nikki. Believe me, you don't want to get anywhere close to that. Not anymore.
What if I've just always wanted you for your body?
Could feel her words take to the air, light and playful, the way we'd spent 13 years. Acting like we didn't really know each other. Our interactions nothing more than a breezy tease when the wind that gusted beneath them threatened to be a dust storm. She was all taunting smirks when I looked over at her. Little tease. Probably the last thing I should do, but I went with it. Think I'm more than you can handle? A sexy twist of her lips had me stumbling.
Well, if that's how you feel...
She nodded and a flash of sadness twined through her demeanor before she tipped her beer my direction.
Friends?
I picked mine back up and clinked it to hers.
Friends.
Problem was, having to remain friends with Nikki Walters was the hardest thing I'd ever had to do. A half hour later, the girl's contagious laughter was bouncing against the walls. She popped the last bit of her taco into her mouth, wiped her hands with her napkin, and rocked back on the high-backed stool.
You're such a liar. That was totally your fault.
My laughter was low, way too amused, barriers down that had been there for so many years. I shook my head as I sopped up a few pieces of meat that had fallen from my taco, glancing up at her with a grin when I did.
My fault? Are you kidding me? Every bad idea I ever had was because of you, tying that rope to that tree included. I said it wasn't going to hold me, and what did you say?
Guilt twitched all over her flirty mouth.
I don't remember.
A rumble of amusement rolled around in my chest. Think it went something like, Ollie thinks he's the shit, but he's really nothing but a chicken shit. On repeat, of course.
No.
Her head shook in vigorous denial, but she was doing her best not to bust up an outright confession. Indigo eyes full of old affection. The same kind gripped at my chest, claws wanting to take hold. I shook it off and focused on being friends.
Yes, you were always the instigator, whispering in my ear, making me think I wasn't a man if I didn't go through with whatever you'd concocted.
I wiped my hands and tossed my napkin onto the table, slinging my arm over the stool back, grinning at her. Took it on myself to prove to you just what kind of man I was. Mischief moved across her face, honeyed locks of hair swishing across her cheeks, those freckles so fucking sweet. Had the intense urge to lean out and lick them. Taste her. That mouth and those lips and every inch of smooth, soft skin.
Hey, it isn't my fault you thought you had to be such a badass. Sounds like a personal problem to me.
More like I had my own personal troublemaker.
And look who I was trying to keep up with. If anyone was the troublemaker, it was you.
And look who I was trying to impress. A blush kissed across her chest, rising with the energy that danced, slowly, quietly, though just as intense. Her tone turned wistful.
At least Kale discovered his true calling that day. He got really serious about setting your ankle.
That shit hurt like hell, too, I told her through a chuckle. Memories hit me hard, one after one, like they were so close I could take a step and tumble into them. They called them the good old days. For us, they really were. She bit her lip. Nikki wasn't shy. She was just real.
I really am sorry you broke your ankle.
I didn't know what I was thinking, but I reached out and let my fingertips trail the defined curve of her cheek. She trembled, and for a moment, she leaned into my touch before she pulled away. Like she was just then realizing she needed to stay away from me, that I was dangerous. I shook the heaviness off and climbed back into the tees, pretending I wasn't treading choppy waters. Oh, sure you are. Who was it standing over me, laughing her ass off, holding her stomach, saying she wished she had a video camera so she could send it in to America's Funniest Home Videos? Thought you were going to get rich off me. She tried to hold back a giggle.
Hey, I would have shared.
Couldn't keep my eyes from tracing her face, every inch. I'd managed for so long, keeping her at a distance while still keeping her close. It's your fault. I trusted you. You were supposed to take care of her. You promised you'd take care of her. Voices resonated from the cold valley planed out inside me. I swallowed around the grief that thickened my throat, welcoming the reminder. I couldn't be trusted. God, I knew I needed to get the fuck out of there, but there was something about being with her this way that made me want to stay, just for a little bit. A few moments of the relief she brought all heaped with a load of torment. I angled my head toward the television. You want to catch a show before I head downstairs?
Are you sure you have time?
Why not? Cece doesn't mind running things.
You know she's just waiting to oust you from your position, right?
She said as she slipped off the stool, her suggestion a bit of a tease, though I thought maybe there was a true question behind it. Nah, Cece might look like a viper, but she's harmless.
Harmless? She let out a little laugh. She doesn't look harmless to me. She basically looks like she could annihilate the bar in one fell swoop.
I plopped onto the couch. You jealous? Nikki dropped down on the opposite end with an incredulous shake of her head. Of the fact she's stunning and scary and basically can command the bar with a single look? Hell yes! Cece oozed sex and radiated intimidation. Men flocked to the bar, salivating and begging for a bone. Her attention the prize. The woman had the power to drop the poor suckers right to their knees. So maybe she wasn't entirely harmless. She just didn't pose any threat to me. I'll be sure to tell her that, I told her with a lift of my brow.
Don't you dare. Women like that eat girls like me for dinner.
I think you're safe. As far as I know, she likes men. Disgust made her scowl.
Tell me you don't know that because you've slept with her. She's your employee. That's just all kinds of wrong, Oliver Preston.
She tried to make it come out as nonchalant, like she was giving a friend advice, but I heard the way the idea of it scraped from her throat, hurting her. Always, always hurting her. I looked at her, hooking up a small smile. Don't worry your pretty little head, Nikki Walters. I don't sleep with my employees. But you know Kale got a taste of that before he met Hope. Her eyes went wide with the scandal.
No,
she wheezed. Had no idea if I was breaking bro code by letting her in on that little bit, but somehow I couldn't make myself shut the hell up, needing this connection with her, hungry for it. Or maybe I was just trying to shift the attention from myself. Yup.
Freaking Kale. He's lucky I love him so much.
Nah, he was just doing his thing, biding his time until the right girl came into his life. She blinked these wide blinks at that. That feeling pulsing at my chest, thrumming in the space between us.
So you really never slept with her?
No, not even close. Her eyes narrowed for a beat, like she was searching me for the truth, before she relaxed against the arm of the couch and pulled her legs up so she could hug her knees.
Good. You're forgiven. For now.
This time it was my brows riding high. And just what are you forgiving me for?
Being a gorgeous, brainless, womanizing man?
She said it with a jut of her chin. Playful, even though I could feel the undertone of severity. The two of us broaching a subject we'd never trusted ourselves to touch before. An incredulous chuckle rolled out.
Womanizing, huh? Now who's making assumptions about the other?
Her amusement shifted and fell into something somber.
Oh, come on, Ollie. You don't need to pretend for me. You think I don't see those girls?
Regret clamped down on my chest. I grabbed the remote and aimed it at the television that sat on the console, voice a little lower than it needed to be.
Those girls don't mean anything.
Her voice was softer.
Everyone means something, Ollie. Feels something. Whether you want to take it into account or not.
This girl. I turned up the volume, like it might have the power to mute every mistake I'd ever made. She was right. Everyone mattered. Her the most. And I'd gone and treated her the same goddamned way I treated everyone else. Needing a diversion, I flipped through some channels. A grin took over when I found what I was looking for. Could feel her amusement ripple from her spirit, the way her mouth twisted up as she attempted to keep herself from laughing. She stretched out her leg and gave me a little kick to the thigh.
AFV, are you kidding me?
My eyes glided up her bare leg. For a beat, my attention locked on the frayed, braided bracelet made of red thread she still wore around her ankle, the worn metal charm in the middle stamped with the words, Fly. I had one to match hidden in my room, unable to bear wearing it. Seeing it. The third piece was missing forever. My guts ached. I shoved off the thoughts and let feigned innocence lift both my shoulders to my ears.
What? I thought it was your favorite show.
Stupid boys, she muttered for what had to have been for the millionth time since I'd known her.
The thing about it?
It was the first time she'd said it in 14 years. I pretended I didn't feel contentment go sinking all the way to my bones. She shifted and groaned a little as she tried to get comfortable on my couch. Totally should have ignored that sound, considering it spoke directly to my dick, but the question was sliding free before I could stop it.
What's wrong?
Legs just get tired from running around the diner for 9 hours a day. Feels good to lie down. This couch is heaven. Seriously, Ollie, when I leave, I'm taking it with me. No need to report a robbery. You know where it'll be.
I let loose a fake gasp. After all my kindness, you'd go and steal from me?
She peeked over at me with a sweet grin that slid right through me.
For this couch? Absolutely.
Here. Reaching out, I dragged both her feet onto my lap and angled to the side a bit so I was facing her better. Such a bad, bad idea. She was right. Stupid boys. So damn stupid when I took one of her feet into my hands and kneaded my fingers into her heel. Nikki's gasp was real. Hitting the air like a motherfucking drug. Just a moan from her tongue, a spell. For a moment she hesitated. Clearly the girl knew this was a bad idea too. Because she stilled before she relented. The anxiety firing through her body went lax and she rolled onto her back to grant me better access. She emitted another one of those groans. Throatier this time.
Don't make me steal this couch, and you too. A girl could get used to this, she murmured.
I had to suck for air because my lungs squeezed, constricted with a rush of lust. Like a dumbass, I continued to massage her foot, my thumbs pressing deeper into her heel before I moved to the arch. Wishing I was closer, needing more. A sigh pulled from between those pink lips, and the air shifted. Sizzled and lit. That had always been the problem with Nikki. She was heat and light, a spark and a flame. Sunshine. I thought I just might lose my mind because I swore I could see that aura she wore gather between us. Colors. Reds and purples and blues. They thrummed and lapped. It made it impossible to breathe. I moved to the ball of her foot and then to her toes, which were tiny and somehow delicate. The nails short and painted the same shimmery pink color of her lips. Did it make me a sick fucker that I wanted to suck one into my mouth? That I wanted to lick up her bare leg?
nibble at the inside of her thigh? She squirmed, and my breaths came harder, harsher, while hers turned shallow. She arched from the couch. Need and pleasure. I wondered if a girl could go off from a foot massage alone, because I thought maybe I could from giving one. My cock strained painfully as I moved to her other foot.
"Ollie," she whimpered, "that feels so good."
Visions slammed me. Clearly, the girl bear laid out under me, an offering. Nikki, Nikki, Nikki. I dropped her foot like a rock and launched to my feet. Erratically, my chest heaved as lust careened through my body. I roughed both my hands through my hair, trying to calm the fuck down. Get myself together. You can't be trusted. You can't be trusted. Shocked out of the trance, Nikki shot up to sitting. Her eyes blazed as she stared across at me. With desire and regret. With the realization she should be protecting herself from me. She clutched the couch like it was a life raft she was getting ready to get tossed from. This was stupid. So stupid. Need to get downstairs, I told her, voice rough. She nodded. For the first time since I'd known this girl, no smart reply came from her mouth. I didn't wait for her to form one. I flew for the door, my own life raft. Because I was right. This girl was a wave getting ready to take me under. And I didn't think she'd ever let me up for air.
Chapter 11. Nikki. It was close to 5 p.m. when I bounded down the three flights of stairs and out the big metal door into the back parking lot. Humidity smacked me in the face, and I was hit with the overpowering scent of honeysuckle that wafted through the dense air. I jogged across the lot to where I'd parked my car after Ollie had taken me back to my apartment to pick it up yesterday afternoon. I knew I shouldn't find comfort in staying with him, but I wouldn't lie to myself. I did. I wouldn't have been able to sleep last night had I been staying at my apartment, fearful Caleb might return. All I wanted was to lie low, hide out, just for a little while, until things between him and Brenna cooled down. Of course, I had to admit I hadn't slept all that well, knowing Ollie was once again just a room away, a wall and a million miles separating us. But after the evening we'd spent together, it had felt as if part of that chasm was being erased. Drawn. That magnet that would live forever, pulling us together. It was a bad idea to get close to him. I knew it. Of course I knew it. But sometimes life made it hard to pretend he hadn't once been the most important person in my life. Anxious to head to my sister's house, I clicked the fob and started to pull open the driver's side door. Then I froze. My stomach plummeted to the ground. The hairs at the nape of my neck lifted on end, and the sweat that was already threatening to gather beaded across my forehead and neck, trickling down my back in a slow slide of dread. Another note. It was folded neatly and tucked beneath the wiper. He'd found me. Oh God, he'd found me. I gulped around the rush of terror that glided through my body. Followed me, more likely. From Brenna's description, he was manipulative in the worst of ways, yanking her one direction then the other until she thought she was going insane. Warily, my attention darted around the area, searching beneath the towering trees that lifted to the blue, blue sky, across the line of cars that were parked next to mine since this area was reserved parking for Olive's employees. Nothing. Just the whisper of the leaves and the sound of the busy street echoing from the other side of the building. Shit. I mumbled. All I wanted was to run right back upstairs. Maybe curl up in the bed Ollie had told me to consider mine. Maybe curl up in his. Damn it. I could not let my brain go down that train of thought. But it seemed almost impossible. Not with the way he'd always made me feel safe. Not with the way he'd touched me last night. I wanted to fall into Ollie's strong arms and beg him to take it away. But I wasn't that girl. One to be frightened away. Threatened until I backed down so some jerk could have his way. Brenna deserved so much better than that. Taking one last glance around the lot, I snagged the note and hopped into my car, quick to slam the door and press the lock. Heart a riot in my chest, I carefully unfolded it. Fear slicked across the surface of my flesh. A cold, cold dread. You think you can get away so easily? He can't keep you from what's coming. Thunder. It rumbled through my being. A warning. A siren that screamed. Pulse a deafening pound, pound, pound as it echoed in my ears. I squeezed my eyes closed against the shackle of terror that gripped me. I'd always known working for the program would require sacrifice, that it might not always be easy. Maybe I'd known I was getting in too deep. I'd just never expected it might make me feel like I was going to drown. I hoisted myself onto my little sister's kitchen counter. Sammy gave me a scowl. Were you born in a barn? Playfully, I rolled my eyes at her and tossed another grape into my mouth. If I was born in a barn, then I'm pretty sure you were too. Next thing you know, you'll be making your mama jokes, trying to cut me down to size when you're really just cutting yourself off at the knees. She swatted at me. Psh, if I wanted to cut you down to size, I wouldn't need to look to our mother. Think I've got plenty to work with just with you sitting there. We could start with that face. Ouch, I said, grinning wide. Funny how neither of us were feeling the love unless we were razzing the other. Old habits die hard and all that. Before you start going down that road, you should probably take a gander in the mirror, I told her. She laughed. Oh, God. Now, don't you go talking about how much we look alike. A couple days ago, I was at that little market over by Grandma's. Remember her neighbor, Margot? I was loading my groceries onto the conveyor belt when I heard someone shouting, Nikki, Nikki, is that you? I don't know why she even bothered asking the question when she refused to believe I was your sister and not actually you. You say this as if looking like me is a bad thing. She laughed as she flitted around her cozy country kitchen, preparing dinner, the smell of a roast simmering on the stove making my stomach growl. Her face really was so much like mine that it felt as if I was looking in a mirror. A few years younger and a tiny bit rounder from the few pounds she was still clinging to after giving birth to my sweet niece 2 months ago. Did you show up at my door digging for compliments? No, I didn't show up at your door digging for compliments. I showed up at your door digging for dinner. That, and I needed a distraction. I had to tell Seth about the notes I'd found on my car. I knew I did. But I needed to work myself up to it. Figure out exactly what information I could give without betraying confidence, knowing I didn't have proof. But my gut? It was sure. On top of that, I'd needed to get out of Ollie's loft, clear my head, decide exactly what I was going to say to him. I couldn't just stay there and keep him in the dark about what was happening. But God knew I was terrified of letting him in on this. He wasn't exactly rational when it came to a threat. Plus, I had to be careful before I lost my heart all over again. No doubt that was the most dangerous position I could get myself into. Sammy pulled out a cutting board and set a head of broccoli on it. Well, I guess you came to the right place then, didn't you? Just expecting your married sister was going to be slaving away in the kitchen for her husband. Isn't that what you're doing? I teased, eyeing the spread she was preparing. Chuckling, she shook her head. I do it because I want to do it, not because I'm obligated. I nudged her with my shoe. You think I don't know that? And there is not a thing wrong with you wanting to take care of your family. She glanced over at me. Something about her expression was wistful and sad. I never really thought it was what I'd want to do. I always envisioned myself in a big skyscraper in an even bigger city, working my way up the corporate ladder. And now all I want to do is spend the day rocking that baby. You always dreamed of getting away from Gingham Lakes, didn't you? Her head shook a bit. Sometimes you think it's the place you need to escape, when really it's just your situation. I stilled at that, something unsettling about her statement. I searched her face. What does that mean? Her posture stiffened, and she pinned on a smile. Nothing. Just means I thought there might be better things out there waiting for me in the world. Why's that? She inhaled deeply, biting her bottom lip as she continued chopping. It's nothing. Just never quite felt comfortable in my own skin. I shifted to the side so I could see her better. I don't get that, Sammy. You were always the happiest of us all. She puffed a little sound. Not even. You and Sydney and those boys, you were always running free, leaving your poor baby sister behind. A chuckle rippled out, and I reached over and grabbed another handful of grapes from the bowl. Ha! Every time I tried to take you anywhere, you didn't want to walk. How many times did Ollie have to carry you home on his back? She laughed low and tossed the florets of broccoli she'd just cut into the pot of water boiling on the stove. Good thing that boy was always the size of a bear, always having to carry all the poor, pathetic girls around. She grinned. Of course, you were probably just faking being tired so you could get yourself one of those rides. Anything to get your arms around that man. Nostalgia moved through me, joy chased by sorrow. I couldn't stop the sad smile. She sobered a bit. You know, I always thought the two of you would end up together. My head shook. No, we have too much in common, too much history to ever make that work. Isn't that what makes a good relationship? Not when all that history is filled with pain. She nodded slowly, quick to change the subject. So, how are your classes? Good. I'm so close to being finished. I can't believe it. I'm really proud of you, you know? Light laughter escaped. It's about time, isn't it? Here I am 30 and barely figuring out what I want to do with my life. Funny how things were supposed to be coming together, and every piece of me felt as if it were descending into disorder. The apartment, Brenna, the internship, and somehow staying with Ollie felt just as big as all of that. Maybe bigger. This was Ollie we were talking about. My great big world. He'd taken that world from me for so long, and now I felt as if I was stumbling through it in the darkness. I chose not to tell my sister any of those things. She didn't need to be fretting over me when she had her family to care for, to worry for. The important things in life. She glanced over at me as she started to make gravy in a skillet. I wasn't joking when I said I'd come around here digging up dinner. My baby sister knew how to cook. Mama is so happy you're getting ready to graduate. My chest tightened with a smidge of pride. She's always worrying about me. I think she keeps forgetting I'm 30. Sammy laughed under her breath. That's because Mama thinks she's still 30. Standing at the stove, she looked back at me, concern in her eyes. I'm worried about how she's handling Grandma falling ill, moving in with her to be her full-time caretaker. That's got to be hard, seeing her own Mama like that. So many emotions raced through me at the thought. I didn't know how to make sense of them. My Grandma, who'd always been so alive and strong. The summers we'd spent running in and out of her house, the screen door slamming shut as we came and went. It has to be the hardest thing any of us ever go through, watching our mothers fall ill. God, I can't stand seeing it with Grandma. Every time I go over there, it breaks my heart a little more. She nodded through the somberness of it. That cycle of life we'd give anything to stop, but never could. It didn't matter how old my grandma was, my mama, my sister. There'd never be a time when I didn't want to cling to them forever. At least Uncle Todd is back in town to help around the house. That will hopefully take away some of the stress, I said. From behind, Sammy's spine stiffened, and I could have sworn I saw her knees sway, losing balance. Sammy, you okay? She nodded. Of course. Just hate the thought of Grandma being sick. Just then, the speaker on the baby monitor crackled. A tiny, rattling cry came through, and I slid off the counter. Let me get her. That'd be nice, Sammy said with a gracious smile, though I couldn't shake the feeling something was suddenly off. I headed down the hall and eased open the door to Penelope's room, which was adorable with its hearts and elephants everywhere. My chest filled. So full. Almost too full. The feeling only came stronger as I looked down at my niece, who was flailing one fist while trying to shove the other into her tiny mouth. Somehow she had kicked free of the blanket and was wiggling around, making the sweetest sounds. I couldn't help but echo them back. Hey, Angel, I whispered, scooping her into my arms. How's my sweet, sweet girl? Auntie Nick has been missing you. I hugged her to my chest and kissed the top of her head, whispering against her crown. So much. She cooed, scratched her sharp little nails in my chin as she fisted at my skin. Was it wrong the little thing made me ache? It wasn't like I was old, but I still felt that time slipping away. A piece of me missing that I'd always assumed would just be there one day. I could swill wine with my friends and laugh all my nights away, give back the best I could, live and embrace who I was. I'd be happy. That didn't mean something wouldn't be missing. Maybe it only seemed fitting it was tucked right down in that place with all those pieces that had gone missing long ago. Nick? I startled with my sister's voice coming from behind me. I spun around to find her standing in the doorway. There was something mournful in her expression, as if she'd just heard every single one of my thoughts as if I'd said them aloud. Or maybe I just saw it projected back, her face like a picture of mine. I pasted on a thin smile. She's so beautiful, Sammy. If I were you, I'd want to sit and rock her all day, too. Sammy gazed at her daughter. It's funny. Just looking at her makes me believe the world could be a better place. Hugging the tiny thing to me, I kissed her temple. And I believed it, too. Outside of my sister's house, I sat in the driver's side seat of my car, in the darkness, holding the card Seth had given me between my fingers. With a shaky hand, I dialed the number. Two rings later, a scratchy voice came on the line.
Hello?
Seth, it's Nikki.
Are you okay? He rushed.
I sucked in a breath, eyes darting through the windows, searching the shadows. The feeling of being watched sent chills crawling across my skin. No question I was being paranoid, but I couldn't seem to stop the dread clinging to me. I just couldn't take the risk. Yeah, I'm fine. I have something I need to tell you, but I need to promise you won't tell Ollie.
Chapter 12. Ollie. I snapped open the door to my turquoise-blue 1950s Chevy truck to the sticky summer air. Birds flitted across the sky that was painted a bright, brilliant blue, and the lush, towering trees rustled in the gentle breeze blowing through. I stepped out onto the sidewalk and shut the door to the old truck, which was basically my prized possession. When I found it, it had been rotting at the back of this old guy's land, swallowed by weeds and pretty much rusted down to the metal bones. It was kind of my thing, taking the dilapidated, the neglected, and the failing, and doing my own sort of restoration. It was where I found my joy, taking something that had been left for ruin and giving it a new life, a second chance when I wasn't ever going to get one for myself, a certain sort of retribution, like I was desperate to find something good buried in the rubble. My first love was my bar, taking it from the ruin it had been and breathing a new life into it. I took just as much pride in the cars I had restored at a local shop, Roke's Restorations, a garage I'd invested some money into when it had been threatened with going under. Hell, I'd invested in a few failing businesses around Gingham Lakes, wanting to see something good rise out of the dust. But the cars, I loved watching them going from completely rotted to immaculate. From a heap of junk to a priceless treasure. Guessed it was a whole lot easier to fall from material things than things made up of flesh and blood and spirit. Safer. But sometimes not falling proved itself impossible. Which was precisely the reason I was there today, driving this specific truck when I had five others to choose from in my garage. Because... Evan. The first time Kale had brought him to my place... The little boy had run through that garage like he'd gotten a lifetime pass to Disneyland and couldn't wait to visit it every day. His big old bug eyes had been nothing but excitement behind his thick-rimmed glasses as he'd gone from car to car. His fingertips had traced the metal, and he'd sat behind the steering wheel of each car, pretending like he was flying down a racetrack. Kale hadn't even protested when I'd let Evan climb onto one of my motorcycles. But this truck... It was his favorite. He'd claimed it as his on that big spiral-bound notebook he always carried around, jumping up and down as he'd shoved it toward my face to tell me just how much he loved it. Then he'd gone and left that ripped-out piece of paper on my coffee table so I wouldn't forget. A light chuckle rippled out as I thought back to that day, to the way the kid had gotten right under my skin like he'd belonged there all along. The same way Frankie Lee and Ryland had done. So there I was, locking the door of that truck and reaching into the bed to snag the football I'd tossed back there for my little adventure to the park that sat smack dab in the middle of our small city. Meeting up for a motherfucking play date. Talk about being a third wheel. Out of place. A damned fish out of water when this was the very pond I grew up in. Kale, Rex, and I had spent many an afternoon running the fields as kids, kicking up dirt, causing trouble the way we'd always liked to do. A couple of hours ago, I'd gotten a text from Rex to meet them there. I hadn't even hesitated. I needed to get the hell out of my loft. Nikki's scent had been stalking me like a fucking drug since the second I'd woken up. I could feel the fractures and splinters getting deeper and deeper, cracking me open wide. My thoughts dangerous, my need dark. The last 4 days we basically avoided each other, me grunting hellos and her offering timid, unsure smiles as she hightailed it out the door as quickly as she could, spending as little time within the walls of my apartment as possible. She'd be gone before I even woke in the morning and already fast asleep by the time I made it back upstairs after closing the bar. You'd think with the little amount I actually saw her, it wouldn't be all that bad. Not true. I was constantly on edge. Need gliding across my flesh like the sharp edge of a knife. Lust and regret a bottomless pit in the well of my stomach. Worry this constant thud that banged inside of me. Seth still had no word on who might have broken into her apartment, and until he did, I wasn't about to let her leave. Guessed a little fresh air would do me some good. I rounded the front of the truck and headed for the park. Fields and playgrounds went on for what had to be a mile, all closed in by massive, ancient trees. The second she saw me, Frankie Lee came running in my direction. Long brown hair flew behind her like a cape, wild and uncontained. Grinning, I moved a little faster to meet her. Like I said, sometimes it was impossible not to fall. I dropped the football just in time to use her momentum to grab her under the arms and spin her around and around. She howled with laughter, shouting, "Come on, Uncle, can't you go any higher?" She was a wild one, that was for sure. So damned happy and full of life, there was no way you could be around her and not smile. She reminded me a little of Nikki in that way. The way Nikki had been at her age, so eager to experience life, though Nikki had done it with a tiny bit more fear. Doses of hesitation coming on. Careful. It had always been Sydney who'd spur her on, telling her to run, jump, that she could do it. I wondered when Nikki had decided to get so reckless. Brave. Which fucking sucked, because the last thing I wanted was for her to be brave, constantly having to worry about the position she might be putting herself in. Stepping up when she thought it might right a wrong. Make someone's life better. Even if it was just a conversation with a lonely old guy living on the street. I beat back the direction my thoughts were going and instead focused on Frankie, who I was still spinning. Her squeals of joy hit the air, and it didn't take too long before I decided she had to have had enough and slowed to set her on her feet. Wasn't surprised in the least when she went stumbling back toward the rest of the group, veering to the right, totally dizzy and off-kilter. Had to admit I felt a bit of that spin, too. "She starts puking and that's on you. Hope you have a rag or two in your truck," Rex shot in my direction as a smug grin tugged on his mouth. He stood behind his tiny son, Ryland, who was facing out, both of the one-year-old boy's hands and Rex's, as Rex helped him balance. The little thing was doing his best to kick a soccer ball with his foot, not moving it more than an inch, but having a grand time doing it. That shit was cute, that was for sure. The kid like a tiny version of his dad. Sometimes it still fucked with my head to see Rex this way. Guy had been one of my closest friends for pretty much all of my life. He'd taken it about as hard as I had after Sydney had disappeared. Angry at the whole damned world because ours had been rocked, none of us able to make sense of something so brutal actually taking place. Shocked. Traumatized. It had taken that sweet little girl being born for his hardened pieces to start chipping away, meeting Rinna stripping the rest to the ground. Disquiet tumbled through me, a rumble in that dark space. Sometimes it was hard to watch, time moving on, people moving on. Sometimes I wished that I could, too. Didn't matter if I wished for it or not, knew I'd forever be a captive of that day. I shoved the thoughts down and snatched up the ball where I'd dropped it and pointed it in his direction. You wish, man. Puke duty is not a part of my repertoire. Kale, who had been kneeling in front of Evan, pushed to standing and threw me a grin as he jumped into the conversation. This from the guy who owns a bar and his sole purpose in life is to get people tanked. I'm pretty sure Olives has played host to a hurl or two. Kale was our opposite, all clean-cut lines and cleaner jaw, his title of pediatrician fitting him to a T. Not a chance, man. Olives is the classiest of establishments. Assholes get trashed and they're out on their asses. Now you want to talk about what goes down on the front sidewalk in the middle of the night? That's an entirely different story. Language, man, Rex said, angling his head to the side. Knew the look on his face. If we'd been 15, that would have been delivered with a punch. Sorry, Kale laughed. Leave it to the bachelor not to be able to figure out how to act around kids. He glanced down when Evan reached up and tugged him by the hand to get his attention. Evan's hands flew through the air, quickly signing something I couldn't read. Kale smiled like a damned fool and signed back. My chest tightened like the yank of a belt. Evan's adoption had just gone through. I wasn't sure I'd ever seen the guy happier than that day. Not that he needed the paper. Pretty sure the guy felt that way from moment one. Loved seeing my crew happy. Finding love after all the bullshit that had been tossed our way through the years. Brutal blow after fucking brutal blow. Two of them had always had my back, stood beside me during the toughest time of my life. Both of them had handled it differently. Rex had fallen into that anger and grief right along with me, like he'd wanted to take some of it on, shoulder some of the burden like he might be able to grant me some relief, ridden with a dark empathy when I didn't think he really had the first clue what I was going through. Sydney hadn't been his responsibility, hadn't been the one who was supposed to watch after her, keep her safe. Kale had stood up and become the rock and had been the one to eventually encourage me to move on, to find the bright side when my entire life had gone dark. I waved back, moving Evan's direction and leaning down in front of him. I ruffled a hand through his red hair. Hey, little man, I told him, knowing he'd be able to read my lips. Did you see what I brought? He dropped to his knees with that pad he used for communication, scribbled something quick. He turned it for me to see what he'd written. Excitement streaking across the mass of freckles that dotted his pale face. You brought my truck? I'm saving all my money from my chores so I can buy it when I get my license. I've got $20. Is that almost enough? I chuckled under my breath when I read what he'd written. You're getting close, buddy, real close. What do you say for now we play for a bit and then we take it for a drive? His eyes went wide and he mouthed, Really? Really? I told him, touching his chin. Yep. Impossible not to fall. I stood and gave the football a small toss into the air. Who's the next Gingham Lakes High wide receiver? Is his name Evan Bryant? His eyes lit up behind his thick-rimmed glasses, and he gave me an emphatic nod of his head. I gave it a soft pitch in his direction, and he fumbled along for the ball. Kale watched him like a goddamned hawk. Always wary of the kid's heart. Couldn't imagine having to carry that weight, but neither he nor Hope would let their own fears get in the way of the kid living a full life. Just because he was born with a genetic defect that had almost taken his young life, his parents weren't going to hold him back. And man, did the kid live a full life. He was so full of it he shined. He caught the ball against his chest and Frankie went flying his way, arms stretched out like she was soaring.
Here, Evan, throw it to me. I want to catch it.
Kinda made me sad that her adorable lisp had all but disappeared. Guess time didn't stop spinning, no matter how badly I might want it to. Didn't think it was possible, but Evan's face lit up even more when he looked at Frankie, and he threw it with all his might, sending it soaring. You know, about 10 feet in the air. Fucking cute. You've got a visitor, man. 3 o'clock, Rex warned, and I turned in time to find Ryland toddling my way. His arms were thrown up over his head, and he was giggling as he tottered over, anticipating that I was going to scoop him up. I did. It sent a tremor rolling through me. Truth was, kids terrified me. Terrified me in a way that wasn't healthy. Didn't mean these three hadn't melted through the hard places at the center of me, worked their way in, my care fierce. Would do absolutely everything in my power to keep them safe. Ryland yanked at my beard with his chubby fingers, his grin so wide as he flashed me a row of 4 teeth on the top and 2 on the bottom. He grunted hard like he was talking to me. "Ouch, dude," I chuckled, trying to unwind his death grip. "That hurts." Kid laughed like it was the funniest thing in the world. So did his dad. Like I said, his dad's mini-me. I scowled in Rex's direction. "And this is funny, why?" How about because you're holding my 1-year-old like a backpack that might contain a bomb? It was just then I was realizing I had him under the arms, holding him out and away from me. My beard was just out of reach of his flailing arms. "Self-preservation, man. Kid's about to tear me limb from limb." "Such a pussy," Rex mouthed, smirk on his face as he came to collect his kid. "Such an asshole," I mouthed back. Evan was all of a sudden in my line of sight, his hand going over his mouth like he was trying to shield himself from my corruption. Awesome. Turns out Kale was totally right. I had no idea how to act around kids. "Such a bad influence. You're hopeless," Kale taunted from behind, picking up the football and hurling it in my direction. Just like the old days. I ran back, caught it with an oomph, and sent it sailing right back. "Not sure what you expect. Don't run into a lot of kids in my line of work. Sorry I'm not a kiddie doc who always knows the right thing to say." Catching it, he lifted his arms out to the side. "Has nothing to do with my profession. It's just the natural charm." I shook my head with a laugh. "Charm? More like constant flow of BS. People just pretend like they tolerate you." "Which is why you show up to the park to hang out with me." Kale threw the football to Rex. "Pretty pathetic, if you ask me," Rex said, giving me shit, just like the fucker always did. Without a whole lot of effort, he reached out and caught the spiraling ball. The look I shot him would have seared a lesser man in 2. "Says the guy who said he would come drag my ass here if I didn't show. Now tell me who the pathetic one is. Just felt sorry for you suckers, that's all." Rex grinned as he stepped back to hurl the ball. "You're just jealous our lives are filled with parks and diaper bags and spit-up rags. Super glamorous, right?" "Jealous?" I tossed out, spinning on my heel to run because Rex had an arm. That was for damn sure. The ball flew high and far. Finally got out in front of it, and I caught it in both hands. "Totally jealous," Kale piped in. "Dude doesn't have it in him to admit we have it right, and he's the one missing out." "Right for you, man. Right for you." Truth was, I knew they had it right. Saw it on their faces. They were living for the good in life. But that was the kind of good there was no chance I could stomach, because I couldn't be trusted with the good things in life. "It's your fault. I trusted you. You were supposed to take care of her. You promised you'd take care of her." An echo of those words assaulted me, and I could almost feel the fists beating against my chest as my mother screamed in agony, her anguish its own phantom that would haunt me the rest of my life. I threw the ball with everything I had, like it might take the sorrow with it, peel it from my skin, or maybe take me back to that time, where I could change it, make it right. Kale grunted when he caught the blistering spiral, his eyes narrowed in awareness. The guy knew me well enough to latch on to exactly where my mind had gone. "Seriously, Ollie, joking aside, you belong here, man, with our kids, our families. Don't ever question that." That was what they'd become. Didn't mean I didn't continually feel like an outsider. The leech who had nothing but was desperate for something, latching on, the whole time praying I didn't bleed them dry. My voice went hoarse. "Love them like my family," I forced out, my gaze moving to the kids who were playing so free. "That's because they are your family. Think we all know well enough blood isn't necessary to make that bond." Rex's words were low, emphatic, like he needed me to know, like he was reminding me of the way it had been when we were kids. And truthfully, the way we were then, could trust both of them with anything. Rex began moving my way, angling his head at Kale to follow. We met in the middle, moving away from the kids a bit, clearly moving out of earshot. So what's this bullshit about Nikki's place getting broken into? Any idea who it might have been? My head shook, unease tying up my guts. No, she's being tight-lipped about it. Stubborn, Kale said, almost offering a smile. I huffed out a frustrated sound. Tell me about it. Pretty sure it has something to do with that meeting she's helping to run. She goes quiet the second I bring it up. Thinks she's protecting someone. A fresh round of fury pulsed through my veins. The acute need to protect Nikki. The urge to hunt. Problem was, I wasn't sure what I'd do if I found the fucker who thought it'd be a good idea to mess with her. I called Seth this morning and he said they still don't have any leads. Couldn't stand the thought that he was still out there. I don't like this whole situation. Something just doesn't sit right. That feeling continued to grow, coming on stronger, an itchy awareness of an approaching storm, something wicked wound with the wind. She's still staying at your place? Kale asked. Yeah. As much as it was driving me straight out of my mind, I wasn't letting her go anywhere. Rex dipped his head quickly, happy with that answer. Rinna is seriously messed up over it. Keeps bringing it up every night, worried about Nikki and what she's going to do. You know Nikki. She tried to play it off like it wasn't a big deal, but Rinna didn't buy it. She suggested we find a house to flip and have Nikki rent it so she's in a safer neighborhood. In contemplation, he looked away before bringing his attention back to me. There was a building that went up for sale by the river, one of the deserted warehouses down on Row. Kale whistled. Took a drive down that dirt road a few weeks back after we had a picnic at the lake. It's like a fucking ghost town out there. Rex nodded. Yup. Place is just about as dilapidated as they come. Junkies using it as a drug house and God knows what else. But the location is mint. And you know Broderick, he's always thinking big. He wants in. Luxury condos right on the river. He's envisioning developing the area into a destination spot with stores and restaurants and maybe another hotel in the future. Think I'm gonna keep a couple units for investment. Make it affordable for Nikki. She can stay there as long as she wants until she decides on a permanent place. With me. The thought struck me from out of nowhere. Fuck. No. Not from out of nowhere. I knew exactly which direction it hit me from. Where it lived. In that deep, deep space that would always fucking belong to that girl. That piece of me she would always hold in the palm of her hand. The only girl I'd ever loved. The one I wanted but couldn't keep. Throat lined with razors, I swallowed hard. Sounds like a solid plan. Thought so too. Stand to make a lot of money, so it isn't gonna hurt us a bit to keep one of the units for Nick, even though I know she's gonna be all up in arms about it. We're going to have to ease her into the idea. I agree. He eyed me. Not sure what she's going to do in the meantime. It's going to take us at least a year to get the first condos ready, but I don't like the idea of her staying at that apartment. I rubbed my hand over my mouth, my small laugh incredulous. Think it's safe to say that makes two of us. I sucked in a breath. She's just going to have to stay with me until then. Kale's brows shot to the sky. And you think Nikki is going to go for that? Hell no, I said. I'll just have to convince her. Kale grinned. Really? Yup. Rex laughed low, rubbing a hand on his chin. That sounds like... torture? Torment? I'd be ruined by then, didn't matter. Fun. Rex finished with a smirk. I wanted to smack the smirk off his face. Fun? What? He was all wide-eyed innocence. Nikki is all kinds of fun. Asshole. I punched at him. Laughing, he jumped back, blocking himself. Hey, don't get mad at me because she's... fun? Kale chuckled. Oh yeah, I bet she's all kinds of fun. Now you get to have fun with Nikki for a whole year. She's a pain in my ass is what she is. Right, Rex drew out. You just keep telling yourself that. But if you do, make sure you don't break her heart while you do it. Suddenly agitated, I scraped a hand through my beard. Not gonna break her heart. Not again. Rex sobered.